traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another one. I'm TJ. I got Matt and Justin with me as always. And today we've got Lewis with us. Now, Lewis, I was getting ready to say your last name,
then
but I think
scared.
We're just going to let you do this. So we're here with Lewis. Lewis, please say your last name.
It's Malingus.
Malingus.
There you go.
Yep. Now, people, this, I mean, I'm not one to be talking about names because mine's just as bad. This is a pretty awesome last name. But how you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all right. We're trying to make it through. We ain't got much to do this time of year except crappie fish and try to kill a goose and snagging season's around the corner. So we're going to be doing that.
Dream about turkey season.
Turkey. Well, I feel like turkey season's still a long ways away. I know it's not. But doesn't it feel like we still got all this time to get ready and stuff, and then you're going to wake up and be like,
no.
Boy, I have nothing ready, and it's turkey season.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it's going to work for me because doing what I do for a living means that I am going to be busy from now until then. And my permit showed up today for here in Illinois. And unfortunately, it will probably be just like every year before it. My new bow is here for the season, and I will likely wind up putting it together the night before and tuning it and sighting it in and going hunting the next morning.
So, speaking of that, you own Dominant Strands Bowstrings. I'm guessing you've got a bow shop and everything, right?
Actually, no, we don't. We don't have a pro shop or a bow shop, so to speak. We have an area where we can install and tune for the locals. They can shoot a little bit in here at short distance to kind of get their stuff dialed up and ready. But we do not have a full range, and we do not carry. We do have a few products here, sight rest releases, things like that to aid the locals and guys from out of town when they come in to hunt during deer season. There isn't anywhere around local to us within reason about 30 to 45 minutes to get to somewhere that does. So we do carry a few things like that on occasion, but we actually are not a bow shop. We're
so
dedicated pretty much to the strings.
Yeah. Where are you at in Illinois?
We are located in West Central Illinois. So about 45 minutes east of Quincy and about 30 minutes south of a town called Macomb. It has a college in it called Western Illinois University.
We're
on the intersection between 67 and 24 that runs 24 runs east and west from the Quincy area over towards Peoria, and then the 67 runs north from pretty much north up into Rockford area, south and toward St. Louis.
So I guess is what I heard is if somebody's out there deer hunting and they blow a string off their bow, they can bring their bow to you, and you guys can help them out.
They can, and we can do that. We have a press and a draw board and all that stuff to be able to help them in an emergency situation and, like, install for locals because there's not a place that close for them to be able to buy our strings and have them put together, so we will do that for them. But we don't carry, you know, you're going to walk in the door and see 100 bows hanging on the wall and targets and all that stuff, broadheads and everything. You're not going to see all that when you walk through the door. So.
Right. You guys make bow strings. I mean,
that is correct. Yep. We are extremely smaller version of companies like Gas and Rogue and ABB and 60X and stuff like that. We are just a lot smaller. We're just getting started. We've only been in business for about going on our third year now as this entity. Everybody here that helps, be it my dad, Don, and Jenny, and all the others, Joey, and those guys, everybody comes up has had a long-standing history in the archery industry and has either owned or worked in another shop and things like that. A lot of them are tournament archers or hunters that are very accomplished. fact, we were lucky enough that Jenny, our young gal that shoots for us, that helps out in the shop and does stuff, she just actually won the Illinois Aggregate, which is a two-day NFAA 300 round. They shoot a 300 round the first day. They shoot a second 300 round the second day, and she actually is the reigning state champ. She just won this weekend, so we get to kind of pound our chest a little bit about that. We've got a state champ in the house, and that's not her first one. Hopefully, it won't be her last either.
Well, that's awesome.
Don did not win this year. However, he is he's also a previous state champ, as well as my dad and myself and some of the other members have all had accomplishments like that throughout the state and local and national levels. So we, excuse me, kind of pride ourselves in being, you know, we wouldn't build something and put it on your bow that we wouldn't build and put on our own. And obviously, with that kind of pedigree among all of us, we expect that our bows perform at the top of the line. So
you guys build these strings in-house then?
We do. We build all that stuff in-house. We start with BCY materials that comes on a spool, and then we have a computer program and measurements and stuff, and we lay out a jig, and we start from scratch and start twisting strands together and turn them into a bowstring.
So something guys, that's gotten popular here in the past 5 or 6 years, and I don't know if you guys do anything like this, but do you make crossbow strings too, or just compound bow strings?
We do. Yep. Short of making steel swedge, the old, you know, cable, actual metal case, steel cable strings, we can actually make string for everything. We make compound and traditional and crossbow, all the above. We can make endless loop, which is what you typically see on a compound or a crossbow. It's called an endless loop string. And it's based on the way that we build it. It's usually built on a four-post jig and basically four corners. You start wrapping it around, and it just continues in a loop, and hence the name. And then you've got Flemish strings, which we can do a endless loop traditional string as well. But that is not what a lot of traditional shooters prefer. They want the old original style braided, and they call that a Flemish twist. That starts out with actually a couple of straight bundles. You lay out pieces of string, and you just hold them together. They're not twisted. They're not looped together in a continuous run. It's several short pieces, and you lay them out and on the jig, and then you start to braid them in a Flemish style, and you create your loop and braid it back into itself, and that's how you create the string.
I mean, it's a lot more complicated than just throwing a string on a bow, is what I heard.
are you lost, TJ?
Yeah, about, I mean, I was paying attention, but I had
he is, I'm not. Yeah, I'm right there, bow strings.
Right,
yeah, telling you what, guys. This is probably the only bow shop or string shop that I know of. You can walk through the door and go watch you make your own string.
So, Lewis, how long have you been making these things?
Well, I've been making strings I'm not exactly sure when I started making strings. I can tell you that my dad and I, a couple other gentlemen, were having this conversation not too long ago, and somebody brought it up. My dad, I couldn't honestly answer it. My dad did. My dad said I started turning wrenches in his shop when I was about 10 years old. So at about 10 years old, I started learning the trade and learning how to make tune bows, set bows up, and make them do what I wanted, build arrows. And, of course, with that came the strings. And the biggest thing is that strings we were making, I'm 41, so or will be 41 here in a month or so, they have changed a lot over the years. You know, the old Flash Flight strings that we were dealing with back in the 90s and early 2000s are nowhere near the stuff that we're doing with them now. The materials have changed. The things that we do to the strings to make them perform the way we do has changed. And with that, we've all had to grow. My dad would be the first one to tell you that somebody will ask him a string question, and he will turn and look and be like, "You're asking the wrong the wrong Malingus, because that one does way more with this than I do. And he's referring to me. And that's just because as I've gotten into this side of it, I've learned and built, worked and engineered, and trial and error more things with that than he ever did. Because when he was coming up doing it and learning it, that wasn't a thing. The materials weren't there and with the capabilities weren't there. So it has changed a lot over the years.
So you got to make sure you're asked the right Malingus. If anybody's listening, it's Lewis.
Depending on what you're asking, I will openly tell you that I defer many times to him when it comes to the actual bow work. He actually owns and is a partner in a archery dealer school called Chapman Archery. And he was good friends with George Chapman, who was the vice president of PSE. And him and a man by the name of Steve Van Zyl, when George passed, it essentially inherited and took over the business. And they still both, to some varying degrees, teach that school. I know Steve does a little more with it than Dad does anymore. Steve still goes to Lancaster every year and teaches it, or had been up until COVID anyway. And I know that my dad still takes people occasionally here at his house in Illinois. They come in, and it's people that own bow shops, and they want to know how to do stuff the right way. And they come in, and those guys teach them how to work on that stuff and break it down. And the it's not just here's how to work on it, turn wrenches and make it shoot. It's theory and understanding why it does what it does and how to affect that. It's pretty in depth.
Yeah, there's a lot more to a bowstring than people like. Nowadays, all the peeps don't have the rubber thing to, and I know I'm going to sound like a dummy here, so just bear with me. But nope, to turn the peep, and there's nothing more frustrating than pulling your bow back and your peep be turned the wrong way. Right. And I'm thinking, because I've had some guys that put bow strings on my bows and nothing but problems like that. And then I'll go somewhere else and have it done, and I'll never have that problem. And I'm assuming it's probably because that guy knew what he was doing when he put the string on my bow.
Yeah, well, it actually can play a couple of different things there. One, yes, the knowledge of the gentleman or woman or whomever that's installing the string and setting the bow up makes a difference. They have to understand what they're doing and know how that everything they do affects the bow. The other thing is the bigger factor in that, which is generally speaking the quality of the string build. So the quality of the materials that they start with, it's one of the reasons we use BCY here. There are a couple of companies, they're not very many, there's only about two or three, that actually manufacture the base materials that we use to build strings. And at least here in the U.S., there are, each of them have their own intricacies as far as quality, color palette, things like that. We have found that for us and our process and how we want things, BCY is the standard for us. That's what we use. BCY what? Fibers has been around for several years, that they've kind of been the industry standard.
What is BCY?
So BCY Fibers is a company that actually manufactures, they take the chemical components to and make strings. So strings are made out of things like materials called Schema, Dyneema, Vectran, and of course we can get really in depth and everybody's going to go, what did he just say?
Oh, we already did that.
yeah, well, we get way worse. But the basic point is you have like the old materials like Fastlight. We had the rubber peep tube you were talking about. Well, the biggest factor with that and the reason we were doing that, what I was talking about with how strings have changed over the years, is that material actually never stopped doing what we call creep. So creep is what causes that peep to continue to twist repeatedly and never stay in the same place twice. And what that was the materials that we had to be, think of it like a rubber band, really stretchy. And that rope that string is really strict. And the bows back then could not tolerate materials that didn't have that stretch in them. And then as you got into the newer modern bows and the manufacturing processes changed and they could things, they started playing with the materials that they made that string with, that Steemann, the Neiman, Vectran, and all that stuff, and they can blend it together. So when you actually take a single strand of string and break it down, it actually is even the strand that you see when you have your string on your bow has multiple strands inside of that strand that you don't see until you break it, actually like roll it around in your finger, that fuzziness that it breaks down. And what that is, they start with minuscule fibers that are, you know, almost spider web look, and they start blending those together and wrapping them to create a fiber that's thicker. And they blend those materials together to get different reactions. And that reaction is what we use to create peak rotation, or no peak rotation for that matter, that you get with the bows and the strings today. The bigger thing is, though, is that you can take those materials, and there's so many different ones out there. There's BCY has multiple what they call low creep materials that will allow you to build a string that doesn't have that rotation and stay put. The thing with that is that each one of those is going to react a little different and have just a little different way that you're going to want to use it as a builder to work, so that the end result is what you want. And a lot of that has to do with feel of the builder, the technique, the way they stretch them and pre-stress them. What we do at that point, when we start them, you hear people talk about pre-stress and pre-stretch. We lay that string out. We serve the end loops. We put that string on a machine and we twist it to create the string. Then we put that string, that unfinished string, on a machine that then stretches those strings out at so much PSI for different times, for different lengths. Sometimes the pressure, we increase them, decrease them at certain times to kind of run that string through the ringer and take all of that creep out of that string. You'll hear people talk about string stretch. That's kind of a misnomer. Stretch is good. If a string doesn't stretch, the bow will blow up. The string needs to have that stretch for performance and to keep the bow from blowing up. If you dead stop the string at the end and it didn't have any play in it, it would actually send all that energy back down the bow, kind of like a dry fire, cause serious issues. So it needs to have a little stretch to it, but stretch means it goes out and then comes back to the same place. Creep means that it continues to elongate the fibers and grow over time. That's not a good thing. That's what causes that peep to change.
Yeah, and I mean, eventually you're going to lose speed and poundage and stuff like that because your string's getting stretched out,
yep.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's where the bows will come out of time. Your peep will rotate on you. You'll lose performance. Now, you're going to lose performance regardless, even with high quality strings and strings that are built right. The materials are going to break down over time. It just is what it is. You can't, it's not going to, nothing lasts forever in that regard. I mean, they break down, especially when you expose them to the elements. And let's just be honest, most of us are not nice to our equipment. So, you know, they get thrown in the case in the back of the truck, hung in the tree in the weather, back in the bow, in the air conditioning, in the heat, back out. You know, and that's all hard on the material. Eventually it will fail. That's why we recommend every 2 to 3 years for best performance that you change the string.
Dang. I think I've had the same string on my bow since 2005.
Yeah. We put a string on your bow and you'll be one of those guys that does what they do here in the shop and they shoot it the first time and they turn and look at it and go, wow, that's fast.
I think when we're done recording, TJ, you probably better order you one.
Yeah. Well, what's the cost on some strings?
Well, it varies depending on the build and what the. So you have bows that have speed knocks on them. You have bows that don't. You have bows that are two piece, like a solo cam. You have bows that are three piece, like the standard bows that we've all pretty well gotten used to that have either dual control cables or dual bus cables or one of each. And then you have five piece, like the Matthews, that have yokes at the. They have a cable, and then they have a separated yoke. So we call that a split bus. And it means that the yoke and the cable itself are two separate entities, and that makes it a five-piece string. So those are a little more intricate. They require a little more material. to build, a little more time, so we charge a little more for those. And then you have ones like the Prime, which are even more intricate and require more serving because they actually have a yoke on the top and the bottom of the string as well as the cables. So those, of course, because of the time and material usage, cost a little more. But the average is anywhere from about 100 to 160 is our top end. Most of the time, you're going to see 100 to 120 bucks is the general. 130 for most of the masses, the five piece strings. You'll see other companies that are pushing up into the $200 range, depending on some of them will have a material they've worked with BCY to create specific to them that they'll then turn around and say it's proprietary. And they'll run that string out there at $90, $200. We could probably charge that for some of our strings. I put my quality coming out of here just up against anybody else's in that regard. But I don't feel the need to charge out the top end. I would prefer to sell strings and build quality equipment for, you know, everybody and not just the guys that want to spend or can afford to spend the high end and shoot the top of the wood.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think we're going to take us a little break here for a second. And then when we come back, we're going to have to ask Lewis on how much deer hunting he does. He's got to do some deer hunting being a big bow guy. So we'll take us a quick little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast.
Hunting with my family. Who could ask for more? All right, guys, welcome back. So, Lewis, I'm assuming, being as you're a big-time bow guy, surely to God you deer hunt with that thing, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, do you just hunt Iowa, or do you travel around? I mean, Illinois, I mean, we all wish we could hunt Iowa. That's right. What I mean.
Yeah. Well, I've traveled a little bit, but mainly here at home. Usually that time of year, I'm so busy with the strings and the bows and doing that stuff that I don't get the opportunity to travel probably as much as I would like to go hunt in other locations. And of course, I'm retired Air Force, and I was in the Air National Guard, the Air Force, for a little over 10 years. And during that time frame, of course, travel was not based on hunting. So now that I'm here and I've retired out of the unit and working on the bowstrings, I don't have the time, but hopefully in the near future I'll get a chance to do a little more of it. So mainly I focus here in Illinois, here on the home farm. I've got a place that I live on, and then I've got a couple of farms with some buddies that I hunt. I've got a guy that hunts with me. His name is Joey. And the two of us run camera and hunt with each other a lot. He's got a couple farms of his own that we do that on as well. I got lucky. I grew up in one of the meccas for whitetail. You know, I live on a border county to the what they call the Golden Triangle. I'm only about 30-40 minutes from Pittsfield, Pike County, Illinois, where, you know, everybody for the longest time when I was a kid, that was the place to go. And lucky for me, here in Schuyler County, it didn't get the publicity, but we still killed a deer.
Yeah.
We talked about it. I think we touched a little bit on that earlier. There's deer here in my shop hanging on the wall that, some of them I've killed, some of them, some, family have killed and friends and not one of them is under 140 inches. And, the biggest one hanging on the wall is 204. And if you've seen Justin's post here a few weeks ago, I think was it a month ago now, I think he came to visit one evening and happened to be coming through the area. He stopped and did a video. You get to get to see a couple of those hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I think he said something about he let you borrow that, hang it up there.
Yeah, that 204.
Yeah.
I'm going to need those back in a couple of weeks, by the way.
I'll that 204 is Mike's that's in the shop, and I'll let you talk to him because he's about 245. I'll let you discuss that with him.
Yeah.
And then of course we have turkey. I chase a lot of turkey. I love turkey hunting. I haven't done it with a gun for years. I hunt with turkeys. My dad and I both have not killed a turkey with a gun in years. We do it with a bow every year. Our current goal is to try to double up the two of us at the same time with a bow apiece on film. So we made an attempt at that last year, and it did not go so well. The turkeys didn't want to cooperate, and we didn't get it accomplished. But I've got high hopes that this year we'll be able to.
I think that just comes with the filming thing, because I used to kill turkeys too, like before I started filming it. And me and Matt, literally the year before we started filming, we killed a double out there at his farm, and now we're scraping by shooting Jake's because they're the only ones we can get to do anything.
Well, and for us, it hasn't been the filming part of it. It just has literally been that, you know, we haven't been able to get them to cooperate on one end, but on the other end, it's kind of been on us. 2 years ago, Dad actually had one. I called it in, and it almost walked across his feet. Went right out in, and of course, we hunt with bows. Sitting in chairs in hex suits. We use hex suits. And we don't use a tent or anything. I actually call with no call. I use my mouth and I don't use a call to do it. And we had brought the turkeys in. In fact, actually, I learned the turkey call from a gentleman down in you guys' neck of the woods down there in the Ozarks by the name of Alex Rutledge. And Alex taught me how to turkey call as a kid working trade shows with my dad. And so I got to doing that. I called this turkey in. It came right across his feet. And he went to draw, and the turkey had his back to us and had no idea he was there at like 6 yards. And he happened to bump the mud. Ground was soft, and his chair sunk a little bit on the one side. It put the tree too close to him. And when he drew, he bumped the tree with his elbow, and he bumped the trigger with his finger when he did that, and he shot right underneath the turkey, never even got the full draw. So we've had a couple incidents of things like that that just didn't pan out for us, didn't work the way we had hoped. So,
all right. I gotta ask you a question. You've touched a nerve.
Our producer over here is losing his mind, and he has to know about this.
So, all right. So me and Matt Smith, I got to know about this hex suit deal, because I guess I'm what you would classify as a non-believer.
Okay.
So tell me about it. What's been your experiences with the hex suit?
I was, like you, a non-believer, but one of the gentlemen that actually worked with developing it was a friend of my dad's, the acquaintance of my dad's through the industry. And my dad was the first one that kind of turned me on to it. And I was not sold until I witnessed, and I wish I'd had video of it. I witnessed my dad with a turkey standing at 6 yards staring at him, and he drew and shot that turkey. Now, I will be the first one to tell you, it's not magic. It does not mean that you can jump up and down and act like an idiot that the turkey will stand there. However, if you are slow and methodical with your movements and easy, and that turkey is not in, you know, freak out mode to start with, you can get away with a lot more than you think you can, and a lot more than you can without it. We have seen a dramatic difference in what we can get away with movement. They just don't tend to, what's the word I'm looking for, focus on you. When we weren't using the suits, they would come in, and as soon as you started on, they would look, pick you out, and they were gone. Now it's more of a, they show up, and if you start to draw and they happen to notice you, they're curious because they can't quite figure out what you are. So instead of bailing out, they give you a few extra seconds of, what are you? As they kind of do that, you know. If you've hunted turkey, you know that whole they kind of crane that neck and out the side, look at you funny, and they turn their head sideways or kind of decide what you are. Well, when we weren't using the hex suits, that was it. They were gone. Now they extend to that time where they're like, what are you? And they may even walk towards you trying to figure out exactly what you are because they can't decide. And it has allowed us to get some shots we probably wouldn't have gotten previously.
So what I heard, Matt, was that it works.
Huh.
So we went to the NWTF convention in Nashville, and they had the whole hex thing set up there. And me and Matt Miller just kind of blew it off, laughed at it. And Matt's like, man, this stuff looks like it's legit. Like, it really works. I'm like, well, yeah, all them videos, you know, them turkeys are blind. They're probably pin-raised turkeys.
Right.
We try to think of every excuse we could think of. Well,
and I'll be blatantly up front. I am not. There are some companies in the industry that I am sponsored and shoot for. Hex suit is not one of them. I do not have any tie, other than the fact that my dad knows that one of the gentlemen that is the head of the company. That gentleman and I have never met. My dad knows him, not me. And I have zero ties to that company at all. So I'm not selling you on it as in trying to, you know, pump up one of the companies that I work for and influence for. And Hex is not one of them. I use it because I believe in it.
There you go, Matt. I don't know what other proof you want, man. I just, it's like the invisibility cloak off Harry Potter, dude. You just throw it over top of you and they don't see it.
Yeah.
Done. It's not quite that good.
I mean, you can stand out in the middle of the field and they'll walk right past you, man.
Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to tell you it's magic and it's Harry Potter's cloak, but it does help. It will definitely make a difference. And honestly, for the price of what it was, when my dad told me what the price was, I was like, can't hurt. I spend way more on way crazier things than that. That's for sure.
I mean, being as none of us care, how much is that stuff? Like, if you're, okay, I'd say like a lightweight, like a turkey hunting thing. I'm sure they make a heavy duty stuff for
you. You know what? I've actually had my hex suit for probably going on 6 or 7 years, and I don't think I could actually tell you off
top of my head. They are about $220 or $230 because I just for looked at them for the whole suit.
So it's actually probably cheaper than that fancy scent lock stuff that we've all bought at one time in our life.
Right.
You can wear that scent lock. The turkeys, they may not smell you because I've never got winded
by a turkey. Hey, DJ.
Yeah.
We may know somebody that's with scent lock on the other line.
I can't confirm nor deny that I may or may not shoot for that company.
Well, okay. Now, when I said that, and I'm not backpedaling here because I don't let off of nothing.
Right.
I didn't say it didn't work. I'm just saying the turkeys can see if you're wearing scent lock. Now, I have never been winded a turkey with scent lock on.
That's right. That's facts.
Right.
Facts. I can say that.
That is a fact. I can agree to that one, too. They definitely are not good at winding. Pretty sure you could smell like you rolled out of the hog barn this morning while you were doing chores before you went hunting, and they wouldn't notice it.
If you're getting winded by turkeys,
maybe take up golf. I don't know.
They wouldn't let you on a golf course. You ever been in those things? They make you wear like fancy clothes and stuff. If you're getting winded by turkeys, you're not getting on any golf course.
if a turkey could smell, nobody would ever kill one.
Right. You'd have to shoot them with a rifle. I mean,
yeah.
It's bad
between their eyes and that. Wow.
So, what's the turkey population like over there in your neck of the woods? I mean, I know a lot of the places, and turkey season's rolling in here. We've been talking to some people. You know, some places like down south are like, boy, we ain't got none. And then we just had Joe King on here last week, and he says he's up in Michigan. They got turkeys everywhere up there, I mean, the way he talks. So, I mean, how's the turkey population in Illinois?
I would say it's on the places where I'm hunting in my own properties, we have actually seen decent amounts. I wouldn't say they're record or that they're like Joe said and they're just everywhere, but we've had fairly decent amounts of them.
That's kind of our experience here too. Like me and Matt Miller both have some private farms that we turkey hunt, and I haven't seen a decline in the turkey population. If anything, it's been holding steady or maybe a few more.
It's not what it was, say, 10 years
no,
ago.
No, but I mean, it's not.
Right.
You know, you talk to guys that are, which it's probably the true down there. You talk to guys down in Georgia and Alabama and stuff, and they act like they just don't have turkeys at all. Like,
dude, right. I seen a lot of turkeys Monday afternoon in between Lebanon and Camdenton. I bet you there were 70 turkeys in this water right there on the side of the road.
There ain't no turkey. There ain't no turkeys in Camdenton.
If anybody asks, there's no turkeys in Camdenton. Not even in Camden County anywhere.
That's right.
Don't even come over here looking for them. There ain't none over here.
Well, Hampton, what are you doing sniffing around up here anyhow?
I was going to say, you're over here sniffing around, eh?
Hey, I got to get where I'm getting good.
You got to get you a spot to stay for next weekend.
Yeah.
Spot to stay?
Well, okay, you stay with us, whatever, but just don't forget about us now. We got fish.
When are we going?
Next Saturday, the 19th.
What time?
All day.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm only 2 hours from there.
Well, we'll probably go early in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know how good you are driving early. Have you ever drove in the early morning time?
Me?
Yeah, it was a joke, Justin. It was a joke. Just went right over his head. 24.
Actually, no. If you ain't noticed, and Lewis can probably tell you this, my truck's actually solar powered.
Solar powered?
Yeah. When the sun comes up, it goes. When it goes down, it stops.
Hey, so Matt just got on the internet and found something that
Matt Smith.
Hex makes arrow wraps. Yeah. Now, boys,
really? they'll never.
I did not know.
They'll never see it coming.
Could you imagine missing the target? You'd never find it.
Yeah,
it'd just be gone.
It'd be like not being able to see that prom dress on that girl at prom in high school.
Right,
and in the real tree dress. I mean, I didn't know what to do.
Right, poor just a head floating around over there.
The head, the head and some arms floating around. And
if you had a hex arrow wrap, you couldn't do the whole arrow. You'd have to leave the fletchings or something uncovered because you'd never find it.
You'd have to shoot a glory knock or a luminock or one of them lighted knocks to find the lighted end of the arrow. That'd be it.
Yeah.
Boys, I'd be scared death by a pair of gloves. I'd drop them and never find them. We're kind of taking this too far. This hex thing, everybody we've talked to said it worked, Matt. Like, literally everybody but me and you, and we've never even put it on in our life.
Amazon and buy you a suit.
All right.
I'll give you my address, Justin. You buy it. I'll try it out. We're probably about the same size. I'm probably a little taller than you, but we can...
Sure, I may or may not have the Dudley models coming.
The what?
The what now? See, we don't even know the models.
There's more than one. Yeah, version. You can. I just have basically mine looks like the screen netting. It goes under. You can wear it external, but I wear it underneath of my clothes. Underneath of my clothes, I don't wear it external.
Oh.
Now then, they make some heavier, thicker ones. That are designed for, you know, warmth or whatever, I guess. But like I said, I don't work for the company, so I don't know their models in and out. I know the one that I've got, and I use it because it works.
Oh, I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to stick our research team on finding out who does own this company or somebody affiliated with it. And I want to get them on this podcast, and I want to figure this thing out.
Yeah, Hampton.
Well, I bet you I could get you a name or two. Let me see what
That's what we need. I would really like to talk to them because it's an interesting, it really is. And I know we're joking around about this stuff, but I'm interested because me and Matt both need every advantage we can get.
Hey, I've never met a hunter that would take every advantage they can get.
Especially with turkeys, like a deer. All right. I'm not going to say a deer can't see it because they can see. They're not dumb and blind. And I still haven't killed a big buck in like what?
It's been a minute.
7 years now, it feels like. But if you don't move, I feel like they don't see you. And if you've got a pretty good hide. But like turkeys, if you can fool a turkey's eyes, then that's where it, like, right there, I'm interested. Yeah. Because like people, you can fool a deer's eye. People shot deer with blaze or, you know, flannel shirts and coveralls.
Right.
Which half of them guys is It's like, heck, I smoke Marlboro Reds. Well, yeah, you're shooting them with 30-06 at 300 yards, man. I don't. Get in a tree stand with a bow.
Yeah, but look at Fred Bear, man.
He didn't smoke Marlboros.
My dad's former business partner in the boat shop he had when I was a kid would put the cigarette out in the bark of the tree and shoot the deer with the bow in the next step.
Sometimes I wonder if they're just curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't answer that. I have no idea. But, yeah, some of the scent things that we go through to try to eliminate our scent, cover our scent, everything now, and you look back and, yeah, those guys were doing that. I mean, I know I, of course, was not born, so I don't remember it by any means, but I've heard the story of my grandpa has a over 200-inch deer that he killed with a reeker back in the day when my dad was young, and that the story was that this buck kept following the cattle, and grandpa, you know, everybody in the neighborhood was seeing this buck grazing with the cattle. So one day grandpa went out and climbed up and sat in the crevice of the crook of a tree and waited, and the cows come out, and here come this buck, and he shoots it, and he was wearing jeans and a flannel shirt.
Yeah. I tell
and
you,
at that time, I think he smoked the pipe. And, you know,
honestly,
later, but yeah, at that time, I think he still did.
I think the reason those guys were so successful back in those days and all that was there was not even a fraction of the hunting pressure that we have nowadays. I mean, you got guys crawling on. If you go to a public land area, opening day rifle season, there's 500 trucks there. So these deer nowadays, guy, and everybody bow hunts now, which is awesome. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but everybody's out there bow hunting now and crossbow hunting and all this stuff. These deer are getting educated like crazy, guys. They're very, very smart. And I'm not saying the old timers didn't do it right and killed. That's awesome, man, because they killed them with recurves, boys. Like, but I'm just saying, I think the deer weren't quite as educated. I'm not going to say as smart, as educated back then. You know, if they caught a whiff of a human, it may not have been, they'd have been like, ooh, what was that? Not danger, danger, I'm out of here. Like, I've right, never smelled right. that before.
They didn't have the reason. Yes, yeah. You got it.
So, absolutely. I got another question I want to ask you about your bowstrings okay. here.
Okay.
You can buy them online. I'm guessing you've got like an online store that people can go to.
We do and we don't. So you can find us on Facebook at Dominant Strands. You can find us on the internet online at dominant-strands.com. But we don't take orders that way. We would prefer that you email us or call. The best way to do it is to call the shop at 217-322-7330 and speak most generally to me. And when you do that, I'm going to have some questions for you. And the reason we do that is, you know, depending on what bow company you're used to and shoot, you remember the PSE Bow Madness line, I'm assuming. There was like 13, 14 versions of that bow. They're all different. So if you sent me, if you went online and you sent an order in for a Bow Madness and you don't give me any more detail than that, I can't build that string. I could, but I'm taking a one in umpteen shot of whether I'm actually going to send you the right string or not.
Right.
Then same with like Hoyt was notorious for this, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s. Each draw length would have a different cam module number, and they would have different string and cable lengths for that. So you'd send me an Alpha Tech or a Cyber Tech or one of those, and if I don't know what cam and module it has on it, I can't build that string because there's three or four different versions of each bow, regardless of the name. And so we would prefer to speak directly to you, and that way we make sure that what we build is exactly what you're looking for.
There you go. Well, what we'll do is we'll get all your information and have Justin, we'll share it to our Facebook, and people can check that out. Now,
sounds good.
Before we let you off here, something else got brought to my attention about you being a published author. Now, I got made fun of because I can't spell anything, so that's why I remembered this. Tell me a little bit about this.
So I am. I have wrote a couple of publications for the outdoor industry. I've written on bow maintenance and strings and how to take care of your bows and how to prep yourself. I've done some stuff on trail cameras and how to set them up and how to use them for different things and different techniques and possibilities. I'm not going to tell you I'm the end-all, be-all expert on any of it, but I can tell you this is my experiences and this is what has and hasn't worked for me. But the article that really started that side of things for me was an article that a friend of mine that I had met through the industry, we had shot for a mutual, we had shot for the same bow company at one time, and became friends because of that. He actually owned a publication at the time, he doesn't any longer, called Louisiana Bow Hunter, and of course that's where he's from, and he was doing online publication. And around that time frame, I had let me back up just a little bit. My brother passed away, and to know the history of my brother and I, obviously I told you I started turning wrenches in my dad's shop. Well, my grandpa had a shop. My grandpa and my dad have the first two compound bows that were ever in the county we live in. My grandpa was a dealer for them, the Allen and the Rigid compounds. You want to talk about a man's bow? That was a man's bow. No let off, and here you go. Those were the first wheeled compounds, and they were steel, aluminum and steel, and man, they were. And they still have those bows. So my grandpa has done that. My grandma shot. They shot competitively. My dad and my aunt shot. My dad owned the shop. My dad teaches the school. I grew up doing that. Of course, my brother did too. And so I wrote the article kind of telling a little bit of the family history there and how my brother and I grew up hunting and doing that, and that, you know, we might be late for school, but nobody thought anything of it because that's just what we did, you know. Everybody grows up somewhere, and their family and them are known for something in that area. For me and my family in this area, it's hunting and bows. So now I'm going to jump forward a little bit. My brother had owned his own logging company, had a wife and kid and stepkids, and they owned a restaurant together. And he had been out, hadn't been feeling real good, and he ended up going and helping the guys that were crews that were cutting logs for him. They got behind because the weather was bad and wet, and he went and helped them. He somehow cut into a log or was around somebody cutting a log that had a mold spore in it. This mold spore, because he was already sick, got into his lungs, created pneumonia. One thing led to another, and he bounced between three hospitals, and the third hospital, he wound up on a ventilator and then on a machine called ECMO that basically works as a external lung, and he ended up developing a leak in the chest because of all the blood thinners he was on for that machine, and it, long story short, stopped his heart. It's a day I'll never forget. I had walked in the door and walked around to watch my dad, my stepmom, my sister-in-law out in the hall. She's fallen, and I watched them throw the curtain as they started CPR. And I'm man enough to tell you I'm 5'9", 260 pounds, veteran, and hillbilly redneck, and I sat there on that floor, and I bawled. And my brother and I did literally everything hunting-wise together. We harassed each other. We were competitive. It was always who could shoot the bigger deer, who could shoot the most deer. And as we got older, it was even worse because cell phones came into play, and we'd be texting each other from one stand to the other, sometimes on the same property. And so I just absolutely died on April 2nd of 2016, and I absolutely lost all desire to have anything to do with archery at that point. As far as I was concerned, that was tied to my brother and my family and my history, and I just couldn't do it. So I end up getting a phone call from my sister-in-law wanting me to come get some stuff. I go to get it. She kind of ambushes me a little bit. She says, here's this stuff. It happens to be a bag full of my brother's hunting gear. She says, I don't want you to, I hear you haven't been hunting. No, I haven't. She's mad. Tells me that's not what my brother would have wanted. That he'd be upset with me. He wouldn't have wanted it that way. I needed to hunt. So I head home that night. My wife tells me she sees this. She's seen this buck and doe in the ditch across from our house on our property. I said, well, if he's with her, he's not going very far. I get the gear ready. I go the next morning. It's raining. It's crappy. Weather's not what I would hope for. I'm sitting in the stand. Daylight comes up. I haven't seen anything. Rain's still coming. My wife texts about 9 o'clock. Do you want to go to breakfast? Are you coming in? Are you staying out? What are you doing? I said, hey, I'll get out in a few minutes. I'll let you know here in a second when I get down. She ends up saying, okay. And I start to get down. And about that time, the rain lets up a little bit. And as the rain lets up, I think something tells me, you know, the rain's stopping. Give it a few minutes to see what happens. Because we all know the rain stops, the deer move. And especially when they've been laid up all night. So I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I hear something, and I look, and here comes this little basket, 6, 8 point, running down the creek, got his nose on the ground, you know, la-di-da, not paying attention to nothing. And I'm going, really, this is what you wanted me to stay 15 minutes for? And it kind of like, whatever. About that time I hear this, and I recognize it to be a mature grunt. I look up, and coming off the hillside is this buck, and he's not by any means shaped the biggest buck I've ever killed, but it was a buck that we had had seen, had chased, the two of us, etc., had some history with it. And he comes down the hill, chases this little buck off, turns to go back up to the doe, and I can see her up on the hillside, and I think, this is all I got. He's going to go to her. There's nothing I can do. I grunt. He doesn't pay any attention to me. So I grunt, snort, wheeze real aggressively. And lo and behold, he turns, crosses the creek, and he is actually past me before I can even realize, oh, crap. And I turn. I get the bow drawn. He stops looking out into the field that was behind me, looking for this buck that had grunted. And he stops 30 yards. Quartered away, wide open. You can't ask for a better position for a deer to stop, and stands there looking out in this field, and I bury one right behind the field. I watch him go about 40 yards and stop, put his tail down, and he starts quivering and disappears in the brush. I had watched deer do this more times than I care to count in my life. This one will forever mean more than any other deer ever, as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, I reached instantly for my phone because I need to make a phone call. I need to call my brother because that's what I've done a million times before. To come help me get this deer and tell him I've killed a big one. Ha ha, I'm on the board. You aren't. And as I pull up his phone, my sister-in-law had actually left his voicemail open. And so I ended up calling, leaving him a voicemail, bawling my eyes out, realizing he's never going to answer this call. Put the phone back in my pocket. My wife's texting me. I finally text her back and say, I killed this deer and yada, yada. And I'm trying not to lose it right now. But I end up getting down, recovering the deer. And Justin, my friend, convinces me after hearing the story that I need to write this article. I need to write this. He wants to publish it because he says, you know, this is something that other people have been through scenarios like this and they need to understand. Part of the ending of the story that I wrote says that I realized at that moment he would never answer that call, but he would always be with me in every hunt that I had, because he, from that moment forward, he would be with me in my memories, in the memories I'd created with my brother, my dad, my grandpa, my friends, all of my family, my nieces, my nephew, my kids, all of that. That was what it was ultimately about, was the memories. And as long as I had those memories, he would always be with me to hunt.
Yeah.
So Justin actually helped me write that, helped me get that story wrote. And by doing that, it opened a lot of doors for me. I got a lot of messages about writing and things at that point. I got a lot of messages from people that, hey, man, I really needed to hear that. I struggled to because of this or that. Honestly, well, that helped me push past that point and realize that, you know, this, that I was right. I did need to do this. Hunting is not about trophies and all that stuff. While that's all great, it's more about the memories that we gain and the memories that are left behind for all of our loved ones when we're no longer here.
Yeah. Well, anybody didn't like, I mean, I'm going to say like that story. I didn't mean, obviously it's a terrible, but right. It's good at the same time. Cause like you said, like there's a lot of people that's probably going through something like that. And you know, if you had somebody you hunted with or fished with or did anything, it doesn't have to hunt and fish. I mean, anything with, and they've since, you know, left and you just quit doing it. I could, like you said, your brother be mad at you because you quit hunting. I mean, that's not what, you know, and it's tough. Right. It's real tough for, I mean, I haven't had to go through it, but it's just, I can't imagine like your best friend you hunted with and then they're gone and then you're going to keep going and, you know, but that's what you got to do. Cause that's what you're, you know, I know if something happened to me, I would want my friends and my family just to keep doing what they're doing. Cause
right.
If you
that's
just
the best
quit
way
doing
to honor
it.
You is to keep doing it. Yep. Exactly.
Right. So,
well, and that's kind of how, you know, of course, Dominant Strands, everybody just kind of like, okay, what? And that all ties into where I am now. Every bit of that led me to where I am at this moment with the writing, the things that I do in the industry, creating Dominant Strands. The tagline for Dominant Strands is it's in your DNA. And as we've talked off and on through this podcast, my family history and how deep rooted it is in archery. When we were, you know, my brother would absolutely love what we're doing right now. And I wish he was here to be a part of it. But at the same time, he is, because he's part of our tagline is it's in your DNA. And that came about because of the conversation I was having with another gentleman that knew my brother, my dad and I. And I said, you know, you guys always told me to stay out of the business side of it because I like to hunt and do that. And I won't have time. And I said, I must be crazy. And he said, you're not crazy. It's in your DNA. It's in your blood. It's part of who you are. And all that still ties back to my brother and my family and our history in the industry, our history of hunting and being a part of the outdoors. And so with all of that, and by continuing to do what we do here, I'm continuing that legacy and that memory of my brother. So that's why we do what we do.
There you go. So anybody listening, if you're going through a tough time like that, just remember.
Well, where can a person find that article?
You can actually find it on Louisiana Bow Hunter. It's been, Adam's been gone since 2016. I wrote that following year. So I have it saved in my save folder. But if you can't find it on Louisiana Bow Hunter, I'm sure it's in their past history. It's called Hunting Buddies Are Forever. And if you can't find it, feel free to reach out to me. I will gladly send you a link so that you can read the article. I have no problem doing that.
Yeah. I think it'd be – we'll definitely be trying to find it. So either way, because I think it'd help a lot of people. You don't know what people
– Well, I'll try to get something found and maybe put a link on our Facebook page so people, if they want to check it out, they can click
on
it.
Send
I can send Justin the link. Yep, I can send any of you the link and then you can share it from
there. That'll work.
But yep, anybody that's listening, though, like he said, don't think – yeah, bad stuff happens to all of us, and it really can put a wrench in your plans, but don't give up on something you're doing. You know, it takes some time. But actually, I think in the long run, it'll end up helping you cope with things, you know, get out there and do stuff that you were doing with that person. You know, they're always going to be there. So
absolutely.
Just keep on keeping on. Don't give up on nothing, especially in today's time. We need more people content doing what they want to do, not what somebody tells them they can do. Because it's kind of the problem nowadays. But we ain't going to get into that. We don't have 2 days to talk about this.
Just say, we're getting kind of deep now.
Oh, it can get deep around here. Well, I mean, we keep a pair of waders over here by the thing, so you don't ever know. We can start off talking about turkey hunting, and an hour and a half later, we're marlin fishing off the coast of Costa Rica. Ain't none of us done that.
Be cool if we did, though.
But we watched a video one time on how it, you know, and now we just.
Now yeah. You're expert.
Then we're coyote hunting again 5 minutes later, so.
Right. I'm talking about how we'd love to be sponsored by Little Debbie Snack Cakes, which we're still on that.
Yeah,
if Hampton. Anybody's listening.
I got to tell you, I'm out on that one because I got a little big at one point here in the not so distant future past, and I'm very much on the struggle bus to trying to not be.
I'd stay away from Debbie.
Boys, it does not help having a string shop next door to one of the best barbecue joints in Rushville either.
It's the only barbecue joint, but it's I don't care how many others they build.
That could get rough. Because there's one thing me and Matt's all about is food.
Yeah.
Go back and, we need to start recording that more often. Like when we were filming our turkey hunts.
The worst part about it is that it's upwind of the prevailing wind of my shop.
Yeah.
That sucks. And it's walking distance too.
Oh yeah.
That's even better.
Visited, I took him and we walk. It's a block. It's just the other side of the block. And, it's good. It's actually, it's stationed in 1883. It's actually owned by the former fire chief of the town next to us. He grew up here and then he went to work there and he retired. He's just a few years older than I am. They bought an old bar and renovated it into this barbecue joint. I tell you what, he makes mean smoked food.
I've been known to walk a pretty good ways for good food, so.
I'm telling you, this is less than 100 yards. I could shoot my bow parking lot to their front door without a doubt.
Yeah, that's nothing, man.
We may have to go get some bowstrings. If you know what I mean.
Right.
Hey, I know where he's at.
Welcome to come on down anytime. Gladly show you how we do bowstrings and hook you up, and we'd even probably take you to dinner.
I'd be all about. You had see now he's figured us out.
Yep.
He's like, I've got these guys hook, line, and sinker. I'm going to throw a sandwich in here, and they'll be here in 2 hours to get a bowstring.
That's right.
Hey, I can tell you exactly. It is 5 hours and 15 minutes from right where you guys are at to that shop.
Hell, that's how far we're driving to go shoot a goose 2 days.
To shoot a goose.
Yeah, see, and a goose doesn't even taste as good as fresh smoked. Brisket.
I'll second that one. I mean, they're not bad, but they're not that good either.
Like, right. you said it right. Like they're not that bad.
Right. We had them in a bratwurst. We hunted with these guys, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago down in Arkansas, and our guide had snow goose bratwurst. Now, and we've said this before, if you want us to say something's really good, let's go hunting all day long and not eat anything. And right. Then we'll go back to the truck because we're all starving to death. It could have been a dog turd in a Hershey's bar wrapper, and we'd have been like, boy, that was the best candy bar I've ever had in my life because you're starving to death. And we've talked about that. Like, man, you know, this place down there had the best hamburger. Remember that time we were hunting and we went in there and ate? And then you go up there and you're not starving to death and you eat it and you're like,
that thing tastes like shoe leather.
Boy, that really wasn't the hamburger that I thought it was. And then you're like, well, we did walk 23 miles that day, you know, and the rain trying to kill a turkey. The hamburger probably really wasn't all that good, but it tasted good at the moment. So that stuff really happens. But
yeah, that one hits close to home. I had a buddy one time that his dad said something similar to that to him. He had been at a local establishment the night before and probably had a couple of heat more than he should have, and he got home and he was talking about how good looking this young gal was. And his dad, the next day, they went to the duck blind drawing, and this establishment was notorious for selling this lemonade drink that everybody had to go get after the duck blind drawing is done. And him and his dad stopped by, and he's sitting there, and this gal, bartender, walks up, and she says hi to him. She's all being nice. His dad looks at him, finishes his drink, and he's looking at his dad kind of funny. His dad looks at him, grinning, and they walk outside, and he said his dad looked at him and said, "Doesn't look so good this morning, does it?"
I ain't the same lady, I swear.
Yeah.
They swap position. That ain't the same lady. I right. Mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That must be your sister.
It's amazing what looks and tastes so good when you're really hungry and looking for some food.
Oh yeah, we've all been there. Those fancy lemonade drinks will get you every time.
I guarantee it.
Yes, they will.
But all right, Lewis. Well, I think we're gonna wrap her up. We're fixing to take off. Like I said, me and Matt are gonna make the long haul up to Rulo, Nebraska, to go hunt with Brad Ganaway and Pro Outfitters. Anybody wanting to? And he does.
Oh, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know about now. Now we're in trouble. Brad is big with Spy Point.
Oh yeah.
And we were talking about the companies and different things that I do stuff with, and I know Mr. Brad Ganaway. The two of us have worked some trade shows together, and we both actually shoot for Spy Point. So I know where you're headed. You guys have a good time. He'll take care of you.
Oh yeah, we've hunted with him before. He's a awesome guy. They got an awesome lodge up there.
Yep, they do. One of these days I want to get out there, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Well, we're for sure doing the snow goose thing. We talked about, I don't know if we're going to be able to go turkey hunt with him this year or not, but he does. I mean, guys, he does deer hunts, turkey hunts, duck hunts, goose hunts.
Yeah.
He probably does some kind of other hunt that I don't.
I mean, he might even do snipe hunts. I don't know.
I think he's about like the rest of us. He hunts everything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that he gets the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, but that's where we're fixing to head out. I'm going to film the whole thing, guys.
And the rest of the posse.
Yeah, we got a whole posse going, which...
It's a posse, too.
I'm going to go ahead and warn Matt now. Let's just go ahead and get the beeper, the editing beeper, tuned in and hot, because some of these guys, you're like, all right, look, we're filming this for a TV show. Mind your manners. They'll remember for the first 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, they're just not.
You're lucky.
Right.
We got to get some good B-roll of Kyle snoring, though, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not never going to let another snoring video get out of my way. And now to hear what Matt was telling me about waking up in the middle of the night screaming and stuff, I was scared. I'm so glad that didn't happen. I'd have had to go sleep with you guys. I'd have just said, you know what, knocking on the door. I'm sleeping on the bed or on the floor. We had a good time. Nothing crazy happened. Me and Matt watched the Muhammad Ali documentary and fell asleep. I mean, that was our crazy night. But
wow,
that was at the NWT. People are probably like, what are they talking about?
Right. We know what we're talking about.
We went to the NWTF convention. We all stayed in the motel, and me and Matt bunked in the same room, and all was good. Nothing happened. He might have snored just a hair, but it was not Kyle Lampkin's bad. So, Kyle, buddy, you're listening to this.
He's still got the lead.
You've got the lead, man. Like, we've got video proof, which that reminds me. We need to figure out if hopefully we're sleeping in separate rooms.
Well, if we can stick Kyle off with, like, a group from, like, you know, with Pennsylvania, like, or something.
Oh, yeah, they'll kill us.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
They'll be beating us with pillows with soap in it like they did in Full Metal Jacket, you know?
Yeah, right.
Maybe he could sleep out on the couch.
Maybe.
But I don't know. But anyways, that's our plan. So I'm going to film her from start to finish. Because we're going to pretty much be doing YouTube stuff for a while now until we get whatever else figured out. So we can kind of opens up our horizon a little bit here. So we'll start from leaving the house to we're going to stop at Rogers. I'm not going to tell you guys everything. You're just going to have to watch. But we're going to do our best to film this hunt.
We're filming it.
We're going to film it, but I mean, like, to the best that we can do it, like, and it's a
three. How many cameras are you taking?
I've got 5 GoPros. And I've got my big camera. Your big camera and a GoPro. Austin has another GoPro. So I've got my DSLR. I mean.
So we'll have.
We got it covered.
Yeah, we'll have 3 main cameras and then a bunch of.
3 main cameras and
GoPros.
Because I'm going to put. I've got it all planned out and it's probably not going to work, any of it. We're going to have to take like a power strip to plug in to charge all this stuff. But that's what we do. We're going to try our best to get her filmed and hopefully kill some birds. They've been killing some birds up there. So I'm pretty excited. I think we might have missed it by a weekend. Last weekend, they killed 150-something birds one day. So
we're going to kill 200. Wow. It don't matter.
we're just going to go try to kill them. We don't care. But it'll be a good time regardless. So that's what we'll probably be talking about next week, guys. Lewis, man, thanks for coming on. That was...
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it was good talking to you. I didn't realize how much went into bowstrings. I still don't know half the stuff you talked about, but that's okay.
you're going to go back and get off the phone and Google, aren't you?
No, I'm probably just going to leave it up to
remember.
You. No, I'm probably just going to leave it up to you.
Well, we know he can't spell it to Google it, so there's where he's stuck.
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm going to leave that part alone. I'll let those guys...
Somebody told me once, if somebody's good at something and you're not, just let them do it.
There you go.
And that's how I feel about my job. If you don't know what you're doing, don't come up here and try to tell me what I'm doing. I'll do it, and then we'll all be happy. So here's the deal. If I need a bowstring, I'm not going to try to build one. I'm going to call you, and you're going to build one, and you can put it on the bow.
TJ, speaking of job, what are you doing fishing on the job there at that dock?
I wasn't fishing on the job. I was standing on the dock taking a picture of the job.
That's what he told corporate anyways.
Right. Anybody that's looking at that doesn't do concrete probably doesn't think that's that big a deal. But guys, that was a 150-foot boom truck, pump truck, stretched all the way out, and we had six pipes on it after that. Those pipes are...
I didn't even see no boom truck. I was intrigued by the fishing pole.
Yeah, right. Whatever. There's no fishing pole. I'm not... I always keep my fishing poles out of the picture.
Right. You ain't no dummy.
I am going fishing tomorrow night. I've got all my stuff packed. That's all I was doing waiting on Matt. He's a little late, so I had some extra time. I got all the camera stuff that I think... I've got every camera thing I own, so I figured I'd just do that. And right. Then if we use it, good. If we don't, whatever.
We got it.
So... I got all my underwear packed, extra socks. I'm going to take a pair of waders. Mikey's bringing me some coveralls. Like, all I got is blaze orange coveralls.
Nice.
That doesn't have a hole in them.
You got some camo ones on my boat.
Okay, bring those.
Okay.
Well, I leave those. I bet they smell kind of fishy.
Are you bringing the Crocs, though?
Yeah. No, actually, I wear the Fey dudes. They're not Hey dudes. They're fake. You get them at Walmart. Me and Matt wear them everywhere. Anybody listening, if you have,
I'm wearing them right now.
If you
did,
did
you call them fake dudes?
Fake dudes. I just call them Fey dudes. I don't. They're
okay,
dude. First of all, Hey dudes are like $100.
Ah, they're not that much.
I don't know where you're buying Hey dudes at, but you're getting ripped.
The whatever they are, they're more than $20, ain't they? Because that's what these cost, $20.
Well, yeah.
You're talking to the clearance shop and champions, like our wives, my wife. Me and Matt hit the Walmart. That's like our date night. They want to go up there. We eat at Chili's, and then we go around looking at all the deals at Walmart. Right now, if you need some deer pee, Walmart's got them. Cheap.
Clarence.
We bought some face masks for
$2.50.
Camouflage face masks for $2.50. We bought those, like, have you seen, like, the Tinks or whatever makes the little pouches that you hang in the tree? They had them for, like, $1.50 a piece. If you want some scent away soap or spray, you can get all that you want for like $2.50, $3.
That's because it's not any good anymore. That stuff doesn't last more.
Yeah, but it looks cool, like in Instagram. Like if you're taking Instagram pictures and spraying down, you look cool. I mean, that's all it is looking cool nowadays, guys. Who cares
if you got the if you got the Hex suit, buddy? You don't even need it.
Right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. If I could find somebody with like an Ozonix, but it doesn't have anything in it, but if I could just screw it in a tree and hang it above me and look like I had it. That'd be cool. We get more likes on YouTube or on
Lewis, don't you have one of those too?
I better shut up because he's probably got everything that I'm talking about. Yeah, let's just.
I've got ozone. I've got. I've even actually got a bottle from Scentlock called an infuse that you put tap water in. It infuses it with ozone from the ozone creator, and then you use it to spray your stuff down. It doesn't leave a residue, and it kills 99% of the bacteria. You can even use it around the house when you're done cleaning fish in the countertop. Your wife doesn't like it. You spray that down, and it's gone. Well,
if I clean fish on the countertop, I'd have to find a new house to live in because my wife would kill me.
Well, not after you use the infuse.
Yeah.
See, then problem solved. She'll never even know you did it.
Right. Okay, yeah. We have, like, metal ironing boards that me and Matt find at yard sales and stuff. That's what we use.
In the yard.
in the yard. We cleaned some pretty good sized fish too, though. Like,
I'm telling you, you use the infuse to clean afterward, and then you run the ozone in there, and she'll never know the difference.
Wow.
You won't be in trouble. It'll be awesome.
I hate to tell you, I'm not taking that chance. I'm a coward. I'm not going to do it.
He's just not that brave.
I'm just not that brave. I'm not doing it. I don't care if it's 99% effective. There's that 1% chance she's going to catch me, and then I'm going to have to sleep outside.
Right.
I'm too old.
We were talking clearance aisle.
Yeah.
They're at Walmart.
Yeah.
I got one. I think the old lady picked two more up. Of the new Tacticam SK cameras with the solar panels.
What was they the had ones? Them on,
they had them on sale for $125.
Yeah. Our Walmart had, was it Moultrie?
Something like that, I think. Yeah.
Moultrie ones, and they were like 60 or 40 or 60 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. How much?
They were like 40. Here, I got it on my phone. Let me see what brand it is.
Spy Point's got them. Buy one, get one free right now. They're like 50, 60 bucks if you do that.
See, here we go. That's not a bad deal. I'll find it. Hold on. Maybe.
You've got that Spy Point solar camera.
Solar camera. I've had it for...
Yeah.
I've had that thing for a minute. Like 5-6 seasons. That's a long time for me to have anything.
Right.
Because, if it lasts that long, boys, it's legit. Okay, it's the Moultrie EXO.
Yeah, I got two of those.
They had them for $40. They're Verizon, though.
Yeah.
That's why there's... Everything's Verizon.
That's all they got. Well, see, the Tacticam SK is either AT&T or Verizon. You switch back and forth.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about the Tacticam. I've got a Spy Point. It works great. I've never had a problem with it. So
Spy Point's got one now that does the same thing. It's called the Flex. It'll be coming out. It'll automatically switch for you instead of you having to actually switch it. It switches automatically. It finds the best signal, whether it's AT&T or Verizon or whatever, and it does it automatic.
There you go. Yep.
That's a heck of a deal. Yeah.
All right, boys. We better get off here. We'll be here all night. So
we could talk this stuff all night.
Oh yeah,
I think we have this before anyway.
Yeah, yeah, we do this show once a week, but we could do it for a week if we wanted to.
Right? Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But
well, all right, you guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a good one.
You too, man. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna shut her down. Like I said, we're fixing to go on a big snow goose parade. I'm sure you'll see some videos and stuff. We'll probably go live or something. You never know what you might find on the way up there. Just like our last adventure, we might see something cool. So, we're going to get her all filmed up, head up that way. But got anything else you want to add for a shut her down? Justin?
He going.
Turkey season's coming.
Oh, there he is.
Turkey season's coming.
Turkey season's coming.
There you go, guys. Get excited.
I've been practicing.
Turkey season in Florida.
Yeah, right now, I am the best turkey caller you've ever seen.
Yeah?
No.
There's nobody to compete with right now.
I met Eddie Salter a couple weeks
ago.
You're
the best turkey caller at your house, aren't you?
Yep.
There you go.
That's all you need to know.
See it.
What was that?
Fine specimen.
Fine specimen of a man or
great,
a hunter.
Great hunter.
Great hunter. That's all you need to know.
For now.
I need to get that shirt made. Oh, we got to talk about something real quick, folks. And I'm just getting ready to shut her down. Baby Austin went and got a tattoo, and it's actually pretty epic. Now, I don't know a lot of guys, if people listening, if you've never seen Jeremiah Johnson or not. But the old man that lives in the cabin, and he goes with it, and he told him he can skin get Grizz.
He said,
can you skin Grizz?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, and he brought him a live grizzly bear.
And he said, well, skin that, pilgrim.
He got a tattoo of that old man on his arm. And the guys, it's legit.
It is.
It looks cool. And the crazy thing is Austin's, what, 27, maybe 28? And I'm like, dude, do you even know who it is? And he's like, yeah, but he said, none of my friends do. And I'm like, dude, I watch Jeremiah Johnson like 5 times a week there for a while. Because when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a mountain man.
Yeah, well, I still do, but then...
Well, then I realized, like, there's nobody else up there, and...
Not a lot of women folk in them parts.
Yeah, and wintertime sucks, so...
Right, right.
I kind of talked myself out of it, but anyways, I'll have to put a picture. I'll get a picture of it, and we'll put it on the Ozark Traditions TV thing.
There you go.
But, all right, guys, let's get off here. We're going to keep talking all night. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you guys next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.